From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette, and this is Idaho Matters. When a teenager here in our state is experiencing a crisis, maybe with drugs or thoughts of suicide, there is often no place for them to go. And without a safe place for a few hours to get calm and to get help, these kids can end up either in a hospital or in jail, which can make their trauma even worse, and it can even further complicate the problems that they're already trying to work through. So to try to help these kids, Idaho Health and Welfare, as well as the state's Juvenile Corrections Department, are working to create youth crisis centers all around Idaho. This would mean that a youth, a teen in trouble, can spend 24 hours in a safe space to de-escalate that crisis and then to figure out the help that they need. Here today to talk more about this idea is Monty Pro, the director of the Department of Juvenile Corrections, and Ross Edmonds, Behavioral Health Administrator for Health and Welfare. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Thank you.
So, Ross, I'd like to start with you. Can you tell us more about some of these kiddos who are in trouble? I mean, give us an example maybe of a teen in crisis. I mean, are we talking, you know, solely about drugs? Is it alcohol? Is it suicidal thoughts? I mean, are there other issues, maybe things happening in the home? I mean, I know that's a big question, but maybe set the scene for us as to what we are, what folks are dealing with.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you for having us. It's all of that and more. What we recognize is that teens can go into crisis for any number of reasons: family conflict, struggling with emotional disturbance, drugs and alcohol, thoughts of suicide, anxiety, depression, bullying. It's any number of things that can really create a scenario in which that teen or youth feels like they're not kind of in control of what's happening around them right now. Or maybe it's conflict with their parents and there's no idea where to go. And as you already mentioned, calling the law enforcement and having them come out and have an intervention is not a good way to deal with that situation, nor is expensive care in an emergency department. So having the opportunity for them to be cared for in a crisis center is just sort of a win-win all the way around.
And I'm curious too, and maybe Monty, you could talk about this, is, you know, with these crisis centers and this idea of creating them, I am then under the impression that we do not have anything or very little in our state right now in terms of something other than police intervention or, maybe a psychiatric hold at a hospital.
Thank you, Gemma, and it's so nice to be with you today and your audience. This is a really exciting initiative sponsored by the Behavioral Health Council and supported by the governor and the legislature this year that allows for opportunities beyond, as Ross mentioned, hospital stay, or it comes down to the family and what they're able to handle on their own. And clearly we see services here that are going to be needed for families beyond their capability to interact with their own kids, sometimes family members' kids. It's just really nice to have these services available for the first time for this age group.
Mm-hmm. So can we talk about the crisis centers themselves? So if a youth is in trouble, they can spend up to 24 hours in this safe place, in this crisis center. Can you, and maybe Ross, you can take this, can you kind of walk us through what would happen when that teen or youth, you know, walks through the doors?
Absolutely. It's, you know, one of the benefits we have is nearly a decade now of adult crisis centers in the state of Idaho. So we've been operating adult crisis centers, a very similar model for a long time. So, you know, first off, they're voluntary. So it's not a place that's a secure facility that is, you know, like a jail or incarceration, and a parent has to be voluntarily willing to put their child there. So they show up to the facility and they get quickly checked out to make sure that they're healthy, that there's no medical risk that they're dealing with right now. If a child has, is compromised medically, crisis center is probably not the place you want to take them. But if that quick health check determines that they're physically fine, then they're going to talk to a counselor. They're going to talk to somebody that can help them, just sort of de-escalate, let them express mm-hmm. themselves, talk it out a little bit. I would say, Gemma, one of the most important things about a crisis center is not just what happens within the walls of the crisis center, which is a great thing, right? It's a great thing that mm-hmm. they have a safe, quiet place to de-escalate, maybe get some food. If they need to take a shower, they can take a shower. If they need to just relax and sit in a quiet, dark place, they can do that. But what's really important is ensuring that we have resources for them when they leave. That's a really short stay. The reason it's that long is because it's not an inpatient facility, right? It's considered an outpatient service. So you can't stay more than 24 hours. So you need those referrals once you leave the facility. So you come in, it's a calm environment that really supports a child's de-escalation and the families as well. That's the one difference with an adult center is you want to make sure mm-hmm. you keep the family engaged in that because they're, that's ultimately where the youth is going to go back to.
And how important is it to, I think, destigmatize, people in crisis? Yes, we've talked about this with adults, but we are seeing this so much with teens and youth, and this is not something new. I think that we have had a crisis here in Idaho when it comes to youth mental health, and yet it's almost as if, well, if we talk about it, we're going to make it worse. But I know, at least in our house, and my kids, I think all kids have outbursts. I mean, it's part of the growing process, right? Is that it's okay to have these big feelings and to have these emotions, and it's okay to talk about your mental health. So how important is it to really destigmatize and demystify these crisis centers and what they do and frankly what both of your organizations do?
It's critical, Gemma. This is Ross again. It's critical, and I would say, where we have to get, both as a state and as a nation, is an understanding that a behavioral health condition, addiction, mental illness, mm-hmm. depression, anxiety, all of the subcategories of that, that it's a healthcare condition. It's a chronic health condition that we have to deal with. So the stigma that has historically came along with it, in fact, I think the new generation, kids these days are far more open about the struggles that they have with anxiety and depression than we were. And that's good. It's really good that they're far more open about it. They can talk about it, having families have these conversations. But these situations, maybe at my house with my kids, I have opportunity to sit down, talk to them. They escalate. We talk through it. It's okay. Sometimes it goes beyond that. Sometimes you need professional assistance. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're really looking at with these crisis centers, is allowing the professionals to assist them in de-escalating that, giving some space between the child and family, if indeed there's conflict there that's contributing to this, allow both of them to sort of just take some breaths. And then come back together with the resources necessary to help them long term. It's mm-hmm. we sometimes think about crisis services as kind of the end of the road. Like we've gone down. We want to get upstream. I really view the crisis centers as upstream. It's an early intervention. It's not stigmatizing. It's not too disruptive to a family's life. And it gives us the opportunity for them to gain access into services that maybe they haven't had before. So I really think of it as a preventative service.
Gemma, this is Monty. If I could add to that, Gemma, absolutely. Sorry, if I could add to that. Ross nailed it with that prevention and intervention. That's why we are absolutely excited about this service. This is far upstream. There's a really popular poem from the 1930s called "A Fence Around the Cliff" or "An Ambulance Down at the Bottom." And we really view this as that as more... you're adding more to that fence around the cliff to prevent and intervene folks from falling deeper and deeper into a state of crisis or a state of a long-term need. So thanks, Ross. Well stated.
And also, what about parents or caregivers? Where do they play into this in regards to once this child leaves the facility after the 24 hours, what kind of support is there for a parent or a caregiver? And I ask that because, you know, as we all know, there is no playbook. There are no directions or instructions to raising children, and every child is different. And I think parents, you talk about, you know, trying to swim upstream. Not only do I think teens feel like that, but parents do too.
Yeah, Gemma, this is Ross again. You couldn't be more right with that. And there is no one way of doing it, right? For those of us that have more than one kid, you know, you have to parent each kid differently. They don't all react the same to different types of structure. And so it's the same here. And really, this is new, as you described, this is new territory for us. We've been operating adult crisis centers, and we sort of know how to manage people as they're coming out of the adult crisis centers. But we really want to work with this emerging model to ensure that they are supporting the family at the same time as the youth, and ensuring that they're engaged in that. They know what's happening within the facility. There's nothing secret. There's nothing, you know, it's just some good, solid support. And then engage the family at that point of discharge so we can get them connected to services quickly. Because we know that that's a critical time when a kid comes out of detention, or when they come out of a hospital, or when they come out of a crisis center. It's a really critical time. So you want to get them support as quickly as possible.
And before we wrap up, Monty, can we get the nitty gritty of the details of this? Is that, do we have a timeline as to when we could see these crisis centers online, and will they, are there locations, you know, around the state? Because we also run into being a rural state, not having access to kids who don't live in, you know, the big population centers.
Gemma, great question. This is Monty. So again, we got $4.5 million between parked in the juvenile corrections budget when working with health and welfare to support grant applications that are currently out. We expect those grant applications to come back in mid-November. And then once the scoring process ends, to hopefully get those funds out as soon as we can, as early as December, up to and including various locations around the state. We're hoping to have 3 to 4 centers statewide, roughly in the 18 to 24 beds total across the state. And real quick, I'd love to pivot to sustainability real quick. We are absolutely committed to looking at ways to help these centers become be sustainable long-term because of the evidence identified by Ross and others. What that really looks like, Gemma, is a good government reinvestment. The juvenile justice system has seen tremendous success. So therefore, the resources that we have in our budget are able to then redirect to the to front-end systems like crisis centers. So we're pretty excited about the good government angle on this as well.
And kudos to both of your organizations for doing this. It is so needed. And I appreciate you both coming on and having the conversation so that we can help move this forward and get the kids the help that they so desperately need.
Thank you.
So thank you,
Gemma. Thanks for taking the opportunity to hear about this. And we look forward to having these centers open and helping families across the state.
Thank you, Gemma.
Appreciate it. Absolutely. We've been talking with Monty Pro, the director of the Department of Juvenile Corrections, and Ross Edmonds, Behavioral Health Administrator for Health and Welfare. We've been discussing putting youth crisis centers in Idaho, and they hopefully will be up and running soon. So again, thank you to both of you. And we will hopefully stay connected so you can keep us updated on the dates when we might see these centers opening.
Great. Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm Gemma Gaudette, and this is Idaho Matters.